You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. My name is Preston McAuley. I am one of the hosts as well as one of the ministers here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And with me today, as always, is my fellow co-host and fellow minister and good brother and good friend, Brother Jared Hammond.
Thank you, Preston. We're always excited to come together. You know, the two of us, we've had a lot of opportunities to do some podcasts, but this season we wanted to bring in other people. And,
yeah.
We have a very special treat with us, or a treat for you. We have J.J. Hendricks with us.
Hey, everybody. I'm so glad to get to be here. I love these guys, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
And that's already evident, as I'm sure our listeners can tell. We actually
we're not going to tell how many takes we've already had.
let's just say we've already tried this, and
this is attempt number three.
We got to the end, and we were like, okay, let's delete that and do that again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This might go smoother. It might not go smoother. But
it's the last one.
You know, hey, we'll keep having a good time. So J.J. Hendricks, good friend, good brother. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work that you're in right now, brother?
I am the preacher at the Azle Church of Christ, and I get to do a lot of really cool things with the Azle congregation. I work with the youth. I preach. I teach. It's exciting, and enjoy getting to do that. I teach at the Brown Trail School of Preaching. I teach at the Lambs Academy of Biblical Studies. I'm one of the co-convention directors with Lads to Leaders. I direct the Blast Off Retreat at Quartz Mountain Christian Camp, and I direct the Camp Ida Leadership Session at Camp Ida. And I don't like a lot of free time.
You know, you are a very busy man. You know, as we get into this, JJ, I need to know, and our listeners need to know as well, what size shoe do you wear?
12 wide.
12 wide. All right. Well, that's good, because they say you can't really know someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. So, Jared, we're going to slip on our 12 wides for all of
that's
our
right.
listeners. Go find you a pair of 12 wides and slip those on so we can walk a mile in JJ's shoes for the next however long it takes us to do this podcast.
We're going
to
get through it.
Our 12 wide house shoes.
I'm wearing some, for those in our listening audience, I'm wearing some house shoes right now that are very comfortable, but elusively, they look like loafers.
Oh, they look very nice. They tricked me. JJ's been staying at my house, and when he came out of the room earlier wearing his athletic shorts and these house shoes, at the time I thought they were dress loafers, and I'm sitting here thinking, JJ is setting the bar with the fashion standards, wearing his athletic shorts and his dress shoes.
This is like one of those life hacks, right? You can get these shoes, these house shoes that look just like loafers, and you can wear them in comfort.
Hey, I am very comfortable right now.
There you go.
I mean, so it's good stuff.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're comfortable, because you're in the hot seat.
Hey-o.
And we're going to be just grilling you with questions.
Grilling me. I'm ready.
No, we won't be grilling you, but I do
it's
know.
Like, I sure hope if I'm on the grill, I hope y'all have some A1 sauce. I want to be delicious. So. You know, A1 sauce is so interesting if you think about it, because you look at what year A1 sauce was created. It was during the Civil War. Who thought in the war that's dividing our country, you know what we need? Delicious steak sauce.
And that still divides people. It's not even a uniting thing.
It really isn't. I mean, but there are people that like A1 sauce, and then there's people that are wrong. I mean,
well, before you make too many people angry who don't like A1 sauce, we'll get to the heart of our conversation here. And you know, JJ, one of the things that Jared and I discussed in this particular season, as we're bringing some people in and talking to them, is we want to kind of get to know a little bit more about them, but at the same time to discuss what it is that we know these particular individuals are passionate about. And one of the things you talked about whenever you were kind of going through some of the works that you're involved in was specifically dealing with camp.
Love camp.
And you direct two different sessions, and they kind of take place, actually, I guess, both in the month of June.
Both in the month of June.
But one at the beginning and one at the end. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the session you direct at the beginning of June?
All right. That is the blast-off retreat at the Quartz Mountain Christian Camp up in Oklahoma. Rob Kittle is the director of the camp, and he just does a fine job with keeping that camp looking beautiful. And what we do with the blast off retreat is it's supposed to be a blast off to get a kid ready to have the best spiritual summer that they've ever had. So we have exciting lessons. We have classes on how to study your Bible. We have different fellowship opportunities for the kids to get together and to get to know each other and just hopefully get very excited about the summer they have ahead of them. The Blast Off Retreat's not meant to be anybody's only camp. It's just meant to be that exciting first step into a very exciting spiritual summer with hopefully looking forward to Bible class and worship and going to summer youth series if those are available and going to a different church camp and personal Bible study for personal growth. And that's the whole point of the Blast Off Retreat is to get people excited about getting kids excited about the Lord and making this their most spiritual summer they've ever had.
Yeah, you know, on the with the blast off, your other session that you do out at Camp Ida, it's a five day, correct?
Yeah.
There at blast off, it's a little bit of a shorter camp, so yes. It may be one where, you know, if a child is a little bit hesitant, right, to go for a full week long, here's another option. Of a camp that's a little bit shorter, but still jam-packed with all kinds of opportunity to learn Scripture.
And we've actually had some kids come out to Blast Off for that reason. They don't know if they're quite ready yet to go to a full week of camp, where the Blast Off starts on Sunday afternoon and we're done on Wednesday morning. So we power-pack that Monday and Tuesday full of lessons and activities and fun and mountain climbs and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's good for kids. It's good for kids that are a little worried about a full week of camp, but we do a lot in those couple of days that we're there at Quartz Mountain.
But at the same time, while it is a lot that gets done as you look at the schedule, at the same time it's a very relaxed schedule. It's not.
We sleep in.
You don't look at it, and you're not afraid of how are we ever going to do this all day long.
No.
But it's the way that you've built the schedule for that retreat is very much to keep it a retreat.
Yes. It is meant to be a retreat. It is. There is some structure to it, but it is a little more laid back than a camp session, in my opinion. But then again, laid back for me is still pretty structured.
Well, you said that we get to sleep in at the retreat. That's something that can attract some people.
Yeah, I think our wake up is 9 o'clock, isn't it? Wasn't that what it's been? So,
yeah, you're not going around blowing. For those of you who've never been to a JJ camp session, JJ has a supersonic whistle,
Fox 40, best.
It just penetrates walls. You could probably be in an army tank, and you could be a couple miles away, and JJ would blow the whistle, and you would still hear it.
That's why I've had that ringing in my ears since last. Session 4.
It'll do
Man
it.
And alive.
It'll do
that.
It.
I love that whistle.
But
one year, Preston hid my whistle from me.
It was a necessary thing to do.
It was. I asked for it because instead of getting out and blowing the whistle so everybody at camp could hear it, I was sticking my head out of the cabin door and blowing the whistle as hard as I could to try to wake everybody up. Well, that was right by Preston's head.
But you're not doing that at the Blast Off Retreat.
No, I
because
won't
we get to
that.
Sleep in there.
We get to sleep in
so,
there.
To 9 a.m.
And then Preston did give me my whistle back because I started using an air horn. And it was
it was worse. It was worse. But for those who do like to wake up early, though, you still have an option built into the schedule for them.
We have early morning mountain climbs, and Ernie Albrecht does those, and you have a devotional on top of the mountain. They got two mountains there at Quartz Mountain. Christian camp that you're able to climb, and the kids can get up and pick which mountains they want to go up, and Ernie will take them up and have a devotional on the top of the mountain and then come back down and be ready for breakfast.
Tell you what, it is a beautiful view up there when you get to go to the top and not only look down where the camp is, but just looking across the countryside from up there. Man, it truly is. It's a beautiful view and just awesome to hear, you know, Scripture taught right? And it was the Sermon on the Mount that was being taught when we were there on top of the mount. So it was really cool, you know, just to get to experience that. We really enjoyed that.
Well, in this past year, if I remember right, when we were up on the mountain and Ernie was doing his devotionals, he was focusing on influence and, you know, being responsible, character, all of those wonderful things. And it's something that sometimes we don't necessarily always think about when it comes to a camp. A lot of times with camp, we might think fun and games, but JJ, you do a great job of making sure that it's not just fun and games at camp, but at the same time, it is challenging spiritual lessons to encourage growth for not just the kids who are there as campers, but for the adults who are there on staff as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's not just a one-man show. I mean, we've got some great staff that we have come out and that do lessons, but I have a co-director in Hayden Evans. And this year he's come up with the topic. It's going to be a really good topic. We've got some really good lessons. We've got some good classes. I don't know when registration opens up for Quartz Mountain, but I believe it's going to be a good year.
Well, that's good. And like we said, that blast off retreat at Quartz Mountain Christian Camp takes place at the first part of the month of June. But you also direct another session, the leadership session at Camp Ida at the end of June.
Yes, sir. Camp Ida leadership session, session 4. And this will be our 10th session this summer. So we've been doing camp for a long time together, Preston.
Are we going to have like a 10-year birthday cake or something?
I think we may do that in 2025.
Okay.
So
okay.
That because we started in 2015. So this will be our 10th session, but 2025 will be the 10th, yeah, I don't know. I can't do math. I need to take my shoes off, I guess, and count fingers, but and count toes.
I've got like now I'm trying to count through September, so October, November, December, January. I've got about a 14, 15-month-old daughter right now, so we could do our months and count the number of leadership sessions by month if we need to.
Exactly. I think that would be good. It would really show the growth and where we are in our progress and maturity.
But growth and progress is an important aspect of the leadership session.
Yes, we've done a lot of things different than when we started. I mean, and you learn to monitor and adjust and find things that work, and you see things that don't. And, I mean, you really end up crafting something that I feel is very special. And we have opportunities for the kids with a split service, the boys to be able to do devotionals and lead songs with the boys, and the girls to lead devotionals and lead songs with the girls, and just an opportunity. And we have classes on how to put a devotional together and how to lead a song. And we've got classes on Bible marking, and we've got a Bible bowl. I mean, a lot of different things, opportunities for kids to grow and put them in positions to succeed.
And that is something that with the leadership session every year, it seems like just about every year we always have some of the campers there who it's their first time to kind of step out of their comfort zone and to deliver a devotional or to lead a song.
And we have a really positive group, and so we've created an atmosphere conducive to trying something new. And you'll see a kid get out on that ledge and try something, and you'll see all the kids respond with how proud they are of them, and their teams are encouraging them, and it's just a really good deal.
You know, one of the really cool things about it that stands out, even within the name leadership session, you have quite a few that have actually been through the camp. They've been through year after year after year, who now are of the age that they can actually come back and counsel as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Caden Grota is one of those. I know we have more, but we talked about Caden in run number one of the podcast. What a special guy. I mean, just I've known him since he was a little kid, and he was just such a neat little kid, and he's just grown up to be such an impressive young man.
Amen.
And, you know, you see something special in somebody, and I asked him last year if he would want to be a counselor, and he came in and just took to it like a duck to water. I mean, just did a tremendous job where he needed to be, when he needed to be there, helping people, being first to serve. I mean, getting up and cleaning it and doing the things that aren't necessarily the fun things to do at camp. So, I mean, I'm just...
But that being a servant, though, that's what leadership's all about.
Yeah, and, I mean, Caden could probably be the poster boy for the Camp Idol leadership session. He's been there, I think, every year we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he missed a year in there or not, but I think he is the longest tenured of anybody, except for you. You missed 1 year, I think, didn't you, Preston?
I think I've been there each year.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you missed one. But no, you're right. You have been here every year. You were a camper that first year.
Yep. Yeah, I wasn't on staff the first year. I was a guinea pig.
Yeah.
And I guess the way that first year came about was it was kind of an interesting one. That was the first time, at least in a long time, there had been a session at Camp Ida in that specific week.
Yeah, in that week. And I remember how that all came about as I started preaching in Mount Pleasant in 2014 and working with Chris Grota, who's just a phenomenal guy. And I love Chris Grota. And I worked with him for 5 years. I'm going to take a little diversion from what we're talking about to talk about how great Chris Grota is.
Everybody needs a little Chris Grota.
Everybody needs a little Chris Grota. Is, you know, you work with somebody for 5 years and you start to see who the real person is. And Chris Grota is as advertised. He is that bubbly, loving, caring, cares about your soul. That is who he is. So he is one of the most genuine people I know. Just a tremendous encourager. I mean, tremendous servant of God. I mean, he was just so much fun to work with. Just, I love Chris Grota. But back to what we were talking about. Chris Grota, it's like, hey, they got to clean up out at Camp Ida. And I'd been out to Camp Ida for a few years to visit, to teach at Brian Braswell's session, another great guy. And we were doing the cleanup, and I found out there was a week that laid open at Camp Ida that just nobody took that week. There were some kids that went to another camp during that time, and people just didn't really want that week. And I said, well, I imagine there are some kids in the area that don't go to that other session that may want to come and do something different here at Camp Ida. And they ended up giving me the green light, and that's how the Camp Ida leadership session came to be in 2015.
Well, I'm certainly thankful for it for a number of reasons. A fun, special story is actually that my wife and I proposed to my wife at the leadership session.
Yep. Going further back than that is I don't remember how we met. I just remember that I liked you immediately. I'm sure it was from when Mount Pleasant, Mount Vernon doing something together. And I remember I'm trying to put a staff together. And this is back when I was active on Twitter, which I'm not anymore. But I remember there was somebody on Twitter that made me laugh, like, all the time. And her name was Autumn Osborne. And I remember calling Preston. I'm like, hey, is this Autumn Osborne girl cool? Because she's really funny, and if she's faithful, I think she could end up being a pretty good counselor. And he goes, you know what? I think she's a pretty good girl. It comes from a good congregation. So I think Preston helped set himself up.
I mean, you know, you were certainly doing some encouraging along the way, as well as quite a few others out there that week. I guess y'all were seeing some things that we weren't quite seeing ourselves at that time, but it all worked out.
A little matchmaking. Did have you ever heard the story about how I embarrassed Preston and Autumn real bad that first year?
I have not.
You haven't heard that story?
I haven't.
So Preston and Autumn are sitting there, and I'm like, Preston, ask her to be your girlfriend, and I'll set fireworks off at camp. And Preston turns neon red. And she turns red, too, because it embarrassed her. And I feel bad about it now. I'm on the other side of 40, and I realize you shouldn't do that to people. And I didn't have that sense 10 years ago. And he didn't do it, but he called me a number of years later, and he goes, hey, JJ, I just want to let you know I plan on proposing to Autumn this year. I'm like, that's awesome. And then we paused for a minute, and I said, can I set off fireworks?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, I don't think that there would be a more appropriate time. So
that's great.
I buy fireworks and work it out with Daniel McCary, who's just a tremendous – I love Daniel McCary, tremendous deacon. And I get the fireworks to him, and he puts them in the director's cabin because I don't use the director's cabin at our session. And Autumn sees some transaction going down, and didn't she ask something along the lines of, what, you hiding fireworks down there?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a rule on rule night each time that, you know, no fireworks.
Campers can't have fireworks.
And so we, you know, we read the fine print on that.
Yeah, there was fine print. And so we worked it out. The cabin 5 and the cabin 10, the cabin 5 girls and the cabin 10 boys got to go to do this special devotional and had Colby Taylor and Daniel McCary out in the softball field that when she said yes, they lit those fireworks off. And, I mean, they were blasting. It was maybe the best fireworks show I've ever been to, off the specialness of the moment.
It was a very special moment. And so we obviously have a lot of good fun out there at Camp Ida. A lot of good memories are made there.
Yeah, Tyler and Ray Lynn Bush met out at camp, and they proposed out at camp. So, yeah. I mean, it's you want to find your future spouse, you need to come to the Camp Ida leadership session.
Well, this year at the leadership session, we have, a really good schedule, a really good list laid out for our lessons and everything.
Great theme too, trust. We're in a time where those that oppose God aren't just coming at it full force, or aren't coming at us full force with it. They're just trying to pick little things to try to take away that trust, to pull bricks out of our wall of faith, to make that wall come tumbling down. And we're going to have a series of lessons in the evenings on apologetics so that we can know that God is exactly who he says he is, and we can have trust in him. And hopefully this is going to solidify the faith of the campers. I know it's going to be good for the counselors as well, because it's not just camp is about the kids. But adults get a lot out of it as well as a counselor. I mean, you're hearing really good lessons as well. So I believe it's going to be a solid session for everybody involved.
And I know you mentioned it earlier, but the same will be true this year, where even during the mornings we'll still have those classes dealing with, you know, making a devotional or how to lead singing. And even this year I know we're going to have some special lessons on evangelism.
Oh, yeah. And so it's going to be a really good year. We got a fantastic staff. We've got some new people coming in. I mean, it's kind of the way it is. This is my, I think, 10th year running the session, or the 10th session per se. And you have people come and you have people go, and we've got some people that have left, just not able to come back. People have conflicts in their schedule, and we got some new people that are coming in, and I'm just really excited about camp. Registration is opened up. We're, I believe, a quarter of the way full. So, I mean, we opened registration early. So if you're wanting to come to any session at Camp Ida, you need to register early, because sessions are already starting to fill up.
Yeah, and you can find from the Facebook page on Camp Ida, or even I believe the website is campida.org. I guess that's, you know, maybe in part why I have a iPad right here in front of me, so I can try to check these things out. But we'll make sure in our show notes and everything that we get a link to the camp website, and we'll check as with Quartz Mountain as well for the blast off retreat. Because whether it is at Camp Ida for the leadership session, or whether it is at Quartz Mountain for the blast off retreat, there's going to be a lot of good fun, but more importantly, there's going to be a lot of good spiritual growth as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's I'm excited about this summer. And then I'm just a counselor out at Quartz Mountain for Landis Week. Daniel Landis, who works with the youth down at the Hampton Church of Christ, he and his dad co-direct a session out there. So I get to be a counselor out there for that, where it is kind of fun not to be the guy in charge. So just to get to be a regular counselor, because I haven't had the opportunity to do that in a long time. So,
you know, we were blessed with the opportunity to join y'all last year at
session
4.
Great.
And, you know, every session has its unique strengths, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anywhere you go to a camp, they're going to have their unique strengths. And one of the things that really stood out, you know, even beyond the opportunities for the campers to be able to step up in these positions of leadership and learn to do these things, but there's also a building of character that's mm-hmm. taking place. And and influencing them how to be a better and stronger Christian if they're already Christians. If not, even kind of guiding them, the ones that aren't, in the direction of what it takes to be a Christian, to live as a Christian. So it's just a really good camp and a lot of good things that are taking place.
The campers bring the best out in each other. And I look at the Bible Bowl that we do every year. I think we had 11 kids ace the Bible Bowl last year. And then we had to get into a tiebreaker. And, I mean, you're getting into fill in the blank on verses, and you're still getting kids that know these chapters like the back of their hand, that have studied and have prepared. And that
last year, the Bible Bowl was, if I remember right, what we did Romans chapter 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tiebreakers all came out of Romans chapter 8. And
seems
like you just started in Romans 8 and verse 1. And you'd read through, like you said, to fill in the blank. And the kids would just, they knew it. I mean, it wasn't part of what they had planned to study for the week. Well, and even with that, they don't start studying because they don't know what the Bible Bowl is going to be until that week.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, even when it got down to the last two, that face off went for a while.
Oh yeah,
right? They knew the text very well because you know the face off it lasted for a little bit of time there, so it's pretty impressive.
I mean, we were like late for lunch that day because of how long it went just on that back and forth. And if it says anything about the kids we have out there, nobody was disappointed that we were late to lunch.
No, and whenever that kid won the Bible Bowl, I mean, it was an eruption in there like they were at a sporting event. It was tremendous. I mean, it's cheering the right things. And that's what we want to encourage our kids is, you know, cheer the right things. And there's a lot of good things to cheer about at the Camp Idol Leadership Session. You know, we talked about it earlier, or we did it in the first podcast. It's all running together now. Is you get some kids that will try something for the very first time. And you're going to have your Caden Grotas of the world that go put your arm around them and go, hey, you did a good job. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm proud of you for getting up there and trying and for getting up and doing. And we've got a lot of kids that are like a Barnabas. Is you got a camp full of kids that want to cheer each other on. And it's just exciting to see every year.
Well, one of the things that you excel at yourself, JJ, is finding ways to help empower others. You find ways that you can see a certain talent or a certain skill set, and you really do a great job of encouraging that and pushing kids and even adults as well to recognize that within themselves and just to step out and try it. Because it's just if you can try it that one time, if you can taste it, if you can see that you actually can do it, that makes a world of difference.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And an adage I like to live by, and it's from the Book of Opinions. experience isn't something you have until right after you need it. And sometimes you have to do something that may scare you a little bit, and then you realize it's really not that bad.
Yeah.
And Michael Jimenez, good brother. I love Michael Jimenez so much. Just tremendous guy. I remember when he was 14 years old and we're starting the Lads to Leaders program in Mount Pleasant. And I say, all right, you're going to do speech. You're going to do song leading. You're going to do Bible Bowl. He goes, all right, I'll do song leading and I'll do Bible Bowl. I'm not doing speech. And I go, yeah, you are. He goes, no, I'm not. And I go, yeah, you are. He goes, no, I'm not. I'm like, you can do it. You'll do a great job. And he goes, no, I'm not. And he actually got up from the table and ran out of the NPR there at North Jefferson. And his mom was sitting there with us, and I said, is he joking around? She goes, I don't know. And he called me later that night. He goes, I'll do a speech if you'll help me write it. I was like, of course I'll help you write it. And now he is, I'm kind of getting goosebumps thinking about this, is throughout the progression of our friendship, is it went from me helping him write devotionals to him writing them himself. And then just saying, hey, what do you think about this? And I would give him a little bit of input. And then he went to the Brown Trail School of Preaching. And now he's preaching in Odom, Texas. And I just think about, you know, he just needed to do that first devotional and just get it under his belt to see that it's really not that bad.
He needed that initial nudge.
He needed that initial nudge. And I'm an unapologetic arm twister. And If I can twist your arm and you do something great for God, I'm not a bit sorry.
Well, you know, we're about at the point in our podcast where we'll start to wrap things up and wind things down here. And one thing that we want to try to do that Jared and I have discussed with each of our guests this particular season is to try to ask two questions at the end of each podcast with our guests. So question number one, JJ, what's your favorite book of the Bible?
James.
Book of James. You have any particular reason?
Yeah, it's like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Just for good living is reading the book of Proverbs. Be doers of the word. Understand that trials make you more complete. Strive to tame your tongue, and you can't worship God in one moment and then turn around and cuss the waiter at the restaurant. You just can't do it. And it's, you know, especially that taming of the tongue passage, I'm reminded that we'll never look into the eyes of someone that Jesus didn't die for. And hopefully that will, you know, help us to talk nicer to people and to show our Christianity and not to take our Christianity off and on and put it on for Sundays and then take it off for the rest of the week. That even in our daily conversations and in our daily interactions, is we're His ambassadors. We are His legs. We are His mouth here on earth.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful, wonderful book there in the book of James. Well, Jared, I think you've got question number two for JJ.
Question number two. You know, our previous season podcast, we did names of the Bible, right? And we looked at all these different names and people that we could learn very valuable lessons from. I'm sure you have one that stands out. What would be your favorite name of the Bible?
Caleb. I love Caleb. You know, he's one of the 12 spies that goes into the promised land, and you just see his excitement in Numbers chapter 13. He gets up in front of the people and he's like, let's go do this. God is going to take us into this land, and we can take it. And then the 10 spies give their bad report, and Joshua and Caleb are like, no, they're bred for us. We're going to overtake them no matter how big they are and how fortified the cities are. God is going to provide for us, and He's going to make a way for us. And those 10 spies turned a generation of people away from God. Then that plague comes, kills the 10 spies, kind of a aha moment of like, oh no, we followed the wrong people. And then they try to go into the land on their own without God. And, you know, really a lesson for us is we try to do things on our own terms instead of on God's terms. And it's going to lead to trouble. And then, you know, we see Caleb again in the book of Joshua, where Joshua comes in. He's like, well, Caleb, where do you want to go? And he's like, I want to go to Hebron. I want to go where the Anak were. I want to go where the giants were. I want to go to that fortified city, because he still had that faith that God was going to see him through. And that's exciting for me. I want to be more like Caleb. And I find myself not living up to that expectation. And I need to try harder.
Yeah, Caleb is a wonderful, wonderful example. Just, you know, even as we've talked a lot about leadership and everything of that nature in this particular podcast today, is you think about that moment whenever he says, give me my mountain, and you look at his age, he's not a young man.
No.
I mean, he's an old man, and he's still saying, I'm up for the challenge.
But he still had vigor.
Yes.
It was, you know, in that account, I believe it's Joshua 14, somewhere around that, if I'm not mistaken. Him and Joshua are having that conversation, and it's kind of interesting. You started talking about the spies, right? Joshua and Caleb are having that conversation. And it's like Caleb steps back and he's kind of looking at Joshua. You remember that time, right? This many is 40 years prior? Or
yeah.
Yeah, 40 years prior. He says, you remember when we went in to spy out the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we come back, and he reminds Joshua, and they talk about that. And then he says, you know what? Here I am at 85, and I'm still as strong today as I was then.
Mm-hmm.
Such a powerful statement. And I think there was a lot of that focusing on physical strength, but also his faith. It never wavered. He's absolutely one that could be studied and one that we could try and grow to be more like.
Oh, I remember the first time I really studied about Caleb was I had to read a book called God Demands Doctrinal Preaching. And I'm reading about Caleb, and I'm like, who is this? if I had ever heard a lesson on Caleb before, I didn't remember it. It felt like that was my introduction to him. Like, this guy's amazing. And then we had Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy at the Brown Trail School of Preaching the next quarter. And I get more details about it. And then we had Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and had some really good teachers. Robert Dotson taught Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Charles Billingsley taught Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And just to see Caleb's life, I mean, just remarkable, remarkable guy. Well, can't wait to meet him in heaven one day.
That's going to be a wonderful day. It certainly will be. Well, JJ, we're thankful for you taking the time to be with Jared and I here in the studio.
Third time's a charm.
And we did. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be so proud right now. I haven't actually hit stop on the recording yet.
Anything could happen in these last moments.
But we're thankful for you and the time and the good conversation we've been able to have.
I appreciate y'all having me on and appreciate the work y'all are doing. I'm proud of you both.
Hey, we appreciate you, JJ. We had a discussion, Preston and I, and we actually – I think we both agree that you're very much a Barnabas in today's world and in Christianity today, and we all would, you know, benefit from people like you that are so good at encouraging other people and, you know, helping them to kind of step up into these positions to where they can also lead and, you know, make a great impact on the world around us. We're very thankful for you.
Thank
and
you.
Appreciate you coming and doing this show with us.
We'll certainly continue to be in prayer for you and the good work you're doing there in Azle, as well as all that you do with Quartz Mountain at Blast Off. And I know you mentioned you worked the land this week as well, and the Camp Ida leadership session. And I'm sure that many of our listeners will be doing the same. And wonderful, wonderful treat.
You know, JJ, we were talking about the shoes earlier. With that much going on in the summer, you might want to swap to some running shoes.
But remember, they need to be a size 12
wide.
12 wide.
12 wide.
Well, as we're at the end of the podcast now, we can all take off our size 12 wides and return those to JJ as we've walked a mile or two in his shoes at this point. And we are certainly grateful again to each of you for being with us. Be sure, and if you have any comments or any suggestions for future podcast episodes, be sure and reach out to myself or to Jared. There's going to be an email and some of the show information, and you can reach out and let us know those things. And we hope and pray that you will continue to grow.